Good evening, everyone. God bless you. And again, we say welcome to our online streaming service on this Wednesday night, the 27th. We're just thankful that you've allowed us to come into your home tonight and that we could be a part of your time of worship and fellowship. I pray that you've had a blessed week as we were able to celebrate Memorial Day and to be thankful for those men and women that gave their lives so that we could have the freedom that we have. Before we get into our time of study tonight, God willing, we're going to try to finish up. I don't think it'll be long tonight, but God willing, we're going to finish up 1 Thessalonians tonight. And this will be lesson number 9, but basically we've had 10 different studies, as I did one on Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago, May 10th. But continue to invite others to be a part of us tonight. If you have a loved one or someone that you can invite to be a part of our service, you invite them and maybe ask them to join in a watch party with you. We would very much appreciate it. And also, we ask you to share it so that the gospel will go forth. But we do want to just give God the praise today that He is on the throne and He's in control. He's also allowed us to be one day closer to the end of this season of sickness. Thankful for your Sunday service, being with everybody, and Brother Otis doing Monday night's devotion and prayer time. And then don't forget, this Sunday at 10 o'clock, we're going to be meeting, and God willing, this will be kindly the beginning of the end, is what we're hoping, that starting June the 7th, we'll start meeting again in the sanctuary. But if you don't feel comfortable in coming, then we're going to provide the speakers outside so you can come and you can be a part just being in the parking lot. Now, again, we do want to remind you, wear your mask, wear your gloves, do all that. You're going to come in here and you're going to see the pew sectioned off with blue X's. Don't sit on the blue X's. If there's a blue X there, that's not for you. And the same thing will be true for some areas. We'll have some areas kindly taped off. But just trying to honor our the powers that be, as Christ instructed us to do. In the way of prayer needs, number one, most of all, we always want to remember the lost, those that are dying and going to hell, those that are near hell's gate tonight. Lord, just a few more breaths are in their body before they go home and meet their Creator. We want to pray for those that are backslidden. We want to pray for marriages. We want to lift up those that are depressed, those that are dealing with mental health issues, and it's very real. It's not a matter of strength of mind or anything like that. Just as we're born under the curse of sin, and we know that people are born with abnormalities. I was born with a wrist that wasn't completely developed, and so I can't turn it flat. That's an abnormality due to the curse of sin. There is a deficiency in the genetics. And the same can be true in the mental area as well. Your mind doesn't produce the chemicals that it needs to do, and so you're more prone to having depression and all that. And we want to pray for those people. We don't want to forget about them or treat them as anything less than who they are. Let's continue to pray for Nicholas Patrick, his parents Misty and Ronnie Patrick. This is a friend of Sister Tabitha's, and Nicholas has had to go to St. Jude's. He's been diagnosed with leukemia, and he's 16 years old. So we want to continue to pray for that. Also, we want to continue to pray for Brother Paul Arwood as he's mending up. We're thankful that he was here Sunday and looked like he was eating some good shrimp and sausage the other day. That was some fine leftovers he had on Facebook there. Then we also want to remember Brother Wayne. Brother Wayne had to, Wayne Bledsoe and Sister Tammy. He had to leave out Monday, I believe it was, and head to Charlottesville. No, it was yesterday. He left out yesterday due to the, if you were with us Friday in the devotion time, you heard his LVAD going off. And so they've kept him up there. They did a heart cath today. They've still not found out what's going on. He told us that the second week of June, he was going up there God willing, they were going to remove it the 10th. And so kindly seeing if he's going to come back home, if they're going to hold him up there. I did text with him not 30 minutes before service, and probably going to do some more tests tomorrow. But continue to pray for him and Sister Tammy. I've texted with her today. Pray for them. Sheila Stanley, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Sister Rhonda, Sister Patricia, Sister Helen Bowen, Sister Patty Pravat, Sister Moselle, Sister Hazel, Sister Jeanette, Sister Peggy Stanley, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, Brother Jay and Sister Ruby, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Brother Kent Smith, Sister Liza Fletcher, Henrietta Roach, Bobby and June Jesse, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Jean Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, Danny Smith. And then also I want to just kindly let y'all remind you that we do have an election for president coming up. In November, I believe it is. And so we want to just pray right now that God's hand be upon it. We know that the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands, is what we're told in Psalms. And so we just pray that America be drawn back to the Lord, all right? And pray for our business owners, managers, all that's going on as we try to get the America going again. And nationally, there's been 1,740,692 infected. There's been over 100,000 deaths now. But there's been right at 500,000 recoveries. And so, and that's with some states. Virginia's not reporting our recoveries when you look it up on the site. So there's a whole lot more that are recovering than are dying. And so, but the wonderful thing is today is that the God who created the universe is active in our lives on an everyday basis, that he's doing something. He's fulfilling his commitments. He is safeguarding our life. He is protecting us from the unseen enemies. He is there to hear our cry, and he listens and longs to have a relationship with you. So at this time, and don't forget the ones that we have on our prayer list, the lost, and then those that are given to them at the Hope Center, we're going to pray for that. So after a few moments silence, I'm going to ask Brother Ken if he would come up here and lead us in a word of prayer tonight, all right? But let's have a few moments silence. Brother Ken.
Father God, as we just humbly bow in your house, we just want to thank you for everything that you've given us. Our homes, our jobs, our food on our tables, the vehicles we drive in, just everything that you've provided for us. And let's never forget that where this all comes from. Be with all those people that are the names that are they're given up for prayer concerns tonight. Just have your hand of mercy upon them. Be with our leaders as they try to make decisions that, and hopefully they'll be toward your glory. And we want again just thank you for everything that you've given us. And be with Brother Brian as he goes over tonight's lesson. And may you. May it be a blessing to us in our daily walk with you this week. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ken. All right. At this time, we're going to sing a song together, Lord willing. And it's in the Baptist hymnal. It's page 447. Page 447. And the title is Trust and Obey. This is one that you know should know if you've spent very much time in the church. 447, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen, amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to pick up in verse 12 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, and we're going to kindly be in, have our foot on the gas, and we're going to try to go all the way from verse 12 to verse 28. And what you'll see is that may be a lot of verses, but if you look down in like verses 16 and 17 there, they're basically just 2 to 3 words that make up. So I think we'll be able to get through this. But let's begin in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very high in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecy. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. May God add the blessing to the reading of his scripture tonight. But if you remember, as we began this study in 1 Thessalonians, we kindly went over the history of it and how that it was It was founded on a mighty move of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Bible, but at the same, or the truth of Christ. But at the same time, there was a lot of persecution that was going on. So we have this young Christian church that has been left there without leaders. Remember, Paul and Silas and Timothy got run out of town, basically. And Paul was basically had to flee to Athens, and he was concerned about them. And when he found out how good that their faith had stood up, he was excited for them. But what we see in this young church, even though it is an immature church, meaning that there's not many believers there that have much history walking with the Lord, it is a model church. There are things that's within this church that we and other churches should want to display in our walk, in our lives. And so that's kind of been the theme of every lesson. A model church, whether it be the characteristics of a model church, the pastor's role in the model church, especially the first three chapters, the people of the model church, and those things. But then as we move into verses, the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4, there seems to be a shift in the function or what he's doing now. He had been talking about all that had happened and how God had established them and they were doing good and they were growing in the Lord. And he just kind of bragged on the Lord in the lives there. But in chapter 4, we see, as we're studying the model church, we see Paul goes to an ethical practices and doctrinal practices. What we need to practice as Christians, how we need to live. And doctrinal truths is what we need to believe. And So Paul began over in chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. We see a model church and its lifestyle. A model church and its lifestyle. Or a walk that was pleasing unto God. And the whole idea there was sanctified living. Separated, cleansed, holy, and set apart in loyalty and purpose for the Creator. And specifically there in verses 1 through 8, Paul was dealing with the issue of sexual sanctity, meaning being pure when it comes to any type of relationship other than the relationship given in marriage to one another. And then we moved on into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And again, we're dealing with practical practices or ethical practices. And Paul, in these four verses, gives us four things. He says in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4, he says we're to grow in love. And then in verse 11a, he says we're to make all efforts to live quietly, or we're not to bring unwanted or undeserved or selfish attention upon ourselves. Then in verse 11b of chapter 4, we see that we're to mind our own business. We're to keep our nose in our own things. We're not to criticize or meddle or gossip in other people's lives. And then in verses 11c through 12, we see that we're to labor for our needs. We're not to be idle, and we're going to see that again tonight, that there must have been some people that when they got saved, they felt like it was the Lord's duty and through the other people in the church to make sure they had food or a roof over their head. And that's the society we live in today. And many of them are professing Christians that are doing that. And so then last week, we moved into the model church, verses 13 through 18. This is the teaching of the rapture and the resurrection. And you remember what he said. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant, or I don't want you to misunderstand the truth. Because if you misunderstand the truth, then it's going to affect how you live. Because they didn't understand the resurrection of the dead. Then Paul said, hey, you're misunderstanding this. You don't have to grieve as those that have no hope. If you understand it right, then your grieving, even though you're going to have grief, is going to be different, because there is a promise a promise that's been found in verse 14 of the resurrection in Jesus Christ. Hold on fast to the resurrection, the truth of the resurrection. And then in verse 15 he says, but also hold on fast to the word of God. Hold on fast to the words of Christ. So you've got two things that you can hold fast to that will help you. And we see that from that point on, Paul begins to lay out the structure of how the rapture and the resurrection is going to happen. And then in May 10th is when I preached on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And basically the idea here is a model church should be watching and waiting for the Lord's return. You remember it talks about how Christ's return will be as a thief in the night. But we're not to be asleep. We're not to be drunk. We're to be looking for the thief. Because remember, Christ said, had he known what hour the thief would have come, he'd have been ready for him. And remember, he calls us children of the day, children of light. And so we see that there's basically the past two lessons have been the model church comforting Christ's return and the model church watching and waiting for the Lord's return. So tonight we see, and prayerfully we'll wrap it up, but Paul again moves from doctrinal issues. That's what we talked about in chapter 4. Most of that was doctrinal or based on what we believe. Then we can have this reality in our life that we can mourn in hope or we can grieve in hope. Now tonight he's moving back. And you got to remember, he's wrapping up the letter now. He's finishing it up. And so he moves into ethical practices again. These are some things you need to be doing. These are some things if you're going to mature in the Lord. Remember, that's why he said, I sent Timothy because I was concerned for your weak faith, and I pray every day that I can come and see you face to face so that I could supply that which is lacking in your life. And so as Paul's wrapping up here, the model church, he's leaving them with how to behave. He's teaching them how that they ought to behave or the lifestyle that they ought to live. And in verses 12 through 13, we see how believers are to behave with church leaders. How believers are to behave with the leaders in their church. Now we ask you, brother and sister, now this is from the Christian Standard. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish or who teach you, and to regard them highly in love because of their own work. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, I believe Paul is talking about a pastor here, the leader here, the one that God has called to be the head. And believe you me, I feel awkward in preaching on how a pastor ought to be respected, because it's kindly just weird being a pastor. You don't want to pat yourself on the back, and you don't want to demand that you be treated X way. You want to earn that. But I don't think he's just talking about that here. I think he's talking about Sunday school leaders, Sunday school directors, deacons, song leaders, whatever, those that are guiding you and leading you in your spiritual growth. And notice he says the word there is labor. That word labor there means to grow tired and weary on another's behalf. That you do things so that others may be benefited. Now, I want to tell you this, and I'm not going to be, I'm not bragging. I think that this is what we were meant to do. But I promise you, your deacons and myself and yoke fellas, during this pandemic, we've been up here at the church more than we were before the pandemic. Why? Because we were invested in taking care of the flock and of the fellowship. Wanted to make sure that you were being fed. Notice he says that you're to know them that labor among you. He says you're to acknowledge or you're to appreciate and respect them. Paul was investing his whole self into them. And Timothy, emotionally, spiritually, physically, psychologically, everything. And believe you me, there's times I go home on Sundays and I'm tired and I want to go to sleep, but I can't go to sleep because I'm hyped up from the day thinking about things like that. And then there's other times I wake up in the night thinking, okay, when can we get church back to going? And I know that there's others that have the same thoughts. And Paul's saying you need to respect them. And then the Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, basically says amen to what Paul is saying here. Hebrews 13:7 says this, remember your leaders. Now, well, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13, and it says, to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. He's saying, hey, play nice with one another so that the leaders don't have to work too hard. And in Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. And then again in Hebrews 13:17, he says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grumbling, for that would be of no advantage to you. So Paul's saying, behave with one another so that the leaders can lead. And then the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, they're going to give a report about you, and so make it so that they can do it joyfully. And so Paul's instructing them, saying, you've got leaders, respect the leaders that God has placed there. Behave, love them, honor them, and make much of them. Then in verses 14 through 15, we see that how believers are to relate or to behave with other believers, how church members are to behave with other church members. Look at verse 14. He says, and we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Notice he says, I exhort you, or I encourage you, I'm lifting you up and I'm pushing you along. I want you to do this. You need to move this direction. Sometimes the pastor has to lead, meaning that he goes before. But other times the pastor has to push and get behind and kindly make the pew a little warm and get motivated there. And so there's different means of doing that. But notice he says that we're to warn the unruly. The word unruly there means those that are out of line and loafing. Again, you remember just a few weeks ago, two Wednesday nights ago, we talked about how we're to provide for our own needs and for the needs of others if they're needed. So he's saying, call them out that aren't working. Now, I believe it's legitimate that he's talking about earning a living here, but would it be a stretch to think that he's saying, call those out that aren't working in the church? I don't think that's too much of a stretch, because he's writing to the church. And then he says, call them out. That's not fun to do. It's not fun to be called out or to do the calling out. But praise God, what a relationship you have. I was watching something on the NFL's greatest games, and it was one of the Harbaugh brothers, the one that's over the Ravens. And he said they had an open mic locker room the year that they won the Super Bowl, saying that they could call each other out. And says during the time, they would have like 30 minutes meetings. Coach Harbaugh said, I wasn't happy in the middle of it. He says, but when we walked out, I was happy because we were able to get each other on the same page. And that's the way it should be in the church. So he says, go on. He says, comfort the feeble-minded. The feeble-minded are those that lack courage. They're timid, they're hesitating, they're reserved and held back. And so he says that we're to comfort them, we're to encourage them, we're to assure them and to lift them up. Notice he says we're to support the weak. This is talking about those that can't endure temptation very much. You know, young Christians, many times they don't know how to avoid temptation. So that we're those that don't have self-control or have never had to bear much temptation, we're to help them bear it. But man, when they fall, we're to help them up too and let them know that it's not the end of the world. They didn't lose Jesus. Jesus hadn't let go of them. Notice he moves on as he's talking about how we relate to our fellow brothers and sisters. He says, be patient with everyone. I love this definition, and I'm not saying I can do this, but I like it. It says, exhibit internal and external control in dealing with difficult people, and difficult circumstances. Outward and inward control when dealing with difficult people and difficult circumstances. And we've got to remember, what else do we... Hey, you look around America right now. What else should we respect when we know that most of the people in America don't serve Jesus Christ? And those that say they're Christian, it's more of a label instead of a true relationship. What do we expect out of young believers? That they're going to know what to do automatically? No. We need to understand. And the more understanding we show, the closer we are to Christ, the better image we are to Christ. I mean, you think about Jesus when he ran into the sinners. You know, he never condemned them. He told them what they needed to do to get right. I mean, think about the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, the rich young ruler. He didn't condemn him. He just says, go and get rid of all you have. And said that he went away. So we're to be patient with everyone. Notice he says, do not render evil for evil. And we know Jesus said that, you know, if somebody slaps us, we're to turn the other cheek. And we're told elsewhere that we're to heap hot coals on their head by giving them a cup of cold water, loving on them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 39 says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Even when we're done wrong, we were called to be a blessing to those that's done us wrong. That's what Christ, isn't that what Jesus did? When he died on the cross, he died for those that are going to reject him as well as those that would receive him. So in his worst hour, he was supplying for the best of humanity. And that's what we're to do. And goes on to say that we're to pursue what is good. Notice he doesn't say just for one other person, but it says one another and for all. If you'll remember in Romans, there at the end, we're to esteem others better than ourselves. We're to perceive that their need and their spiritual place is higher than ours. And we're to humble them, but we're to seek what is of moral value and spiritual wealth. You know, sometimes we come down to, we can do something to appease somebody in this world by giving them lip service, or we can speak truth that may make them mad right now, but in the long run, eternally, it's going to be beneficial to them. Which one do we choose? We're to pursue that which is good, that which is of moral value and spiritual wealth. Which one? The temporal or the eternal? The eternal. That's good for me, good for them, it's good for the body. And so that's what he's saying. So we've looked at it as we're wrapping up our first Thessalonians study, the model church. Tonight, we're looking at some ethical practices that we need to do. And Paul has said, this is how you're to behave in relation to your leaders in the church. In verses 14 and 15, Paul says, this is how you're to relate to brothers and sisters in your church. And then in verses 16 through 22, we're to see how we're to behave in relation to God. How we're to behave in our relationships to God. Notice, and this is where they're kindly bullet points. Every verse is a bullet point. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, do not despise prophecy, but test all things and hold tight to that which is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. He says, pray without ceasing. Now, is he talking about that we're to spend our days 24/7 down on our knees? No, but he's talking about a lifestyle of prayer. That there is no end to our fellowship with God. Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit, lives within us. And he is ever present in our life. That means we can talk to him 24/7. Always be thinking about the Word. Always being in the Spirit and letting the Spirit move. And remember, he wrote about basically the same thing over in Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 18 through 19, Paul sensed a need for prayer and believed that it had a great effect on his ministry. And I think that's true here at Thomas Village. Praise God, let's pray. Let's don't give up. And well, before that, he says, rejoice evermore. That means just continually give praise. That there, even in the bad times, even in the hard times, God is able to, and we're going to see this in just a second. Well, matter of fact, right here in verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks. Circumstances must not dictate our thanksgiving or our joy. This goes back to tie with verse 16, rejoice evermore. God has placed us, notice he says we're to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us, that God through Christ Jesus has prepared a way for us, and wherever we find ourselves as his children, he's in control. For some reason, he's allowing us to go through this, and he knows better than we know. And though we may not can understand what we're seeing, we can always trust the love of our Savior. I mean, if he would go that far, he's not going to do anything to hurt us intentionally. It's going to be for his glory and for our growth eternally. Remember, the temporal or the eternal. Christ, he's not focused on the temporal. He's not focused on the earthly. He's focused on the eternal. And that's what he's doing in our life. It says, we're not to quench the Spirit. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, Paul again says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It means to stop, to hinder, to pour water upon the power and the move of the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Well, one is to have known sin in our life. Another one is when we're prompted to do something by the Holy Spirit, go to the altar, talk to someone about Jesus, take a role in Sunday school, take a role in the worm program, and we don't, what are we doing? We're putting a stop sign in front of the power of the Holy Spirit that would empower us to accomplish that. And we're saying, nope, can't work there. Not going to let you use me, which is a sin ultimately. And he says we're to despise not prophecies. Now, remember, prophecy is the foretelling, you know, kindly the seeing into the future. But it's also the forthtelling, meaning putting forth God's truth. If you'll remember, when we talked about over there in the lifestyle, sanctified living, he said in verse 8 of chapter 4, he says, he therefore that despises not man, but God. And that's what he's saying over here. God's man prophesying, foretelling and forthtelling the truth of God. If you reject that, if you look down upon it, or you ridicule or think it's something funny, then you're not rejecting man, but you're rejecting God himself. And remember, we've talked about how we're to relate to our pastor, how we're to relate or behave with one another as members in the church. Now, we're talking about how we're to relate to God. And we can't despise, we can't look down upon his truth. And then he says, test all things and hold on to that which is good. But test all things and hold tight to that which is good. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, listen to what was said. Behold, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have come out of the world, but you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Christ Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. We need to be careful about who we give ear to and receive their teaching. Now, as a pastor, when I first come here, I told you, don't take my word for it. Whatever I'm preaching, you follow it out. But I'm hoping that earns me a little bit of confidence when you see. But if somebody else came in here and they taught something and you searched it out, and you say, well, that will kind of line up. That's testing the spirits. You're seeing, you're not looking down on what they're saying until you've studied it of your own self. If it's good, hold on to it. If it's not, cast it out. The Bible says that we're to do that with our thoughts as well. We're to take our thoughts captive. That which is good, holy, and you know how that goes. We're to hold on to it, but if it's not, throw it out. That's where I've been trying to grow over the past 2 or 3 months. Let me hold on to that which is good, but cast out that which is of the flesh and of the temporal. Let me be about the eternal. And so he says, hold on to that. And he says, abstain from the appearance of all evil. Everything that might be evil, we don't want to look at it. We don't want to have it on us. Why? Because we are representing Christ. And so then we see, if we behave properly according to our relationship with our leaders, if we behave in the way that we should with our brother and sisters, if we relate to God and behave in the right way we should, then in verse 23 we see, and 24 we see what that brings. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Oh, there's that word sanctify, cleanse, set apart for service, given and loyal to God. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body. Man, that made me go back to Matthew 22. You remember when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And you remember he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, with every part of your being. Notice that's what Paul is saying. You need to love him with your whole being. You need to give your whole self to him. Spirit, soul, and body, be kept sound or secure and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, we just talked about how the model church finds comfort in the Lord's return. And chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the model church is watching and waiting for the Lord's return. And so if we're looking and we're expecting it, what are we going to do? We're going to want to make sure we're in the right place. We're clean, we're pure, we're looking all right. Amen? And then he says, he who calls you, notice it's him who is faithful, and he will do it. What will he do? He will preserve us. He'll keep us blameless. We can't keep ourselves blameless because we're still trapped in this sinful world in a sinful flesh. But Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit and the covering of his blood, when he comes again, he'll present us to the Father, and we'll be that spotless bride. And then in verses 25 through 28, we just see Paul's final exhortation. He says, pray for us all. Greet the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. We got to hold off on that until Corona's over. No, I'm cutting up. I ain't going to kiss you no how. I charge you by the Lord that this letter should be read to all. It's supposed to be openly read. Everyone in the church. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. All right. All right. We got a praise report. You can come up here. Don't forget, this Sunday it's going to be 10 a.m. instead of 11. We're going to do it at 10 to try to keep the heat going. Keep the heat off of us.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Got a praise report from Lois Rasnick. She said, praise report, my brother Donnie Fields is doing good and no further problems. So praise the Lord for his healing.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Rasnick. And y'all keep sending them, all right? But before we go, just want to remind you of three things. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open your heart to him today, he'll do even greater things than you can imagine. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you Friday. And we'll see you face to face Sunday, okay? Bye-bye.